I want to make a point here, though, that last weekend I saw a remarkable play in downtown Los Angeles, and my friend Henry was there. He looked me to see it. It was something that had us both talking for quite a while after that. It's a remarkable play, and it's in downtown Los Angeles, and it's at the Hero Theater. The play is T-E-A, like the beverage, and here to talk about it are the playwright, Valina, it's Valina Hasu Houston. You got it. Okay. And Elisa Bocanegra. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting better. Okay. The artistic director of the Hero Theater. Welcome to the show, both of you. Okay.
Thank you. Sure. Honored to be here.
Sure. Well, great to have you here. So, Valina, let's talk about this. Let's start with you. Can you give us an idea of what the play is about? I mean, I think people really are going to get their minds going to be blown when they see it, but I want them to hear or get a taste of it now so they can actually see or get a sense of what this play is about.
Sure. The play is about five Japanese women who come together after a friend of theirs has committed suicide. And it's post-World War II, and they've come from Japan. They were considered war brides. They got married to Americans and came to the United States. And it's a tale really of immigration, of the power of friendship, of survival, and really of how to cope with grief also.
You know, there's something, yes, it's true. And at the same time, it's just, you know, there was something that was really just striking to me when I saw it. It was very, very, very striking. And it was one of these plays where you don't get up and walk away and say, oh, yeah, let's go get a beer. Let's go do whatever. Let's just, you know, but it's more one of them that leaves you thinking hard and thinking about what the hell is happening in the world, all right? And when you think about that, the idea that what this play is about, you know, it's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of a, let's move on. We can deal with that as we get along. You know, maybe it gets, I don't know how we'll divide this up. You guys can fight with each other over who's going to answer this one, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And Lisa and I are good friends. We're really good friends.
Okay, yeah. We can be good friends, too. And basically, I think somebody called this play a powerful lyrical exploration of the immigrant experience. The approach is never didactic. It doesn't preach, but brings out the context of the characters' lives through their recollections and interactions. Who are the characters in the play? And I have to really, you know, jump to that. It was really very good. It was a very, very good, basically comment on the nature of this. But let's talk about this. Who are the characters in that play? Because I think it's important that people know, one, the play is about people who are living in hell to a certain extent. And let's talk about who are the characters in the play, and for a start here. I don't know which one of you would want to do. Go ahead.
Oh, Valina, go for it.
The sort of axial central figure is a woman named Himiko, who married a white American from rural Oklahoma, and she comes to the United States. And I don't want to give away what happens in the play, but she becomes the kind of central figure. And as a spirit character, she draws the other four women to her house who've never been in the same house. They've never been together before in one place. And the other women are Setsuko, who is married to an African-American, and Teruko, who is married to a white Texas man, has a very happy marriage, and Chizue, who has probably acculturated the most out of the group. She's a widow, and she's found a way to survive well in America. And then Atsuko, who married a Japanese-American and has brought with her from Japan rather arrogant and sometimes racist ideas about other cultures in the United States and certainly about even her own peers.
You know, one of the things I've been trying to think about, and I really wish we had more time to deal with this, but I do think that there's some things that people need to know. They need to know them hard, and they need to know them fast. And I think it's, when we're talking about the treatment of women, I need to, as quickly as you can, I hate to do this, and we'll probably have you come back as the play is going along and talk about this, because, you know, you have a situation in here where you have women are being called war brides, which brings to mind the women taken as prizes of war in the case of Himiko, and maybe even close to the truth, they're living in this in the U.S. You know, when you think about all this, you know, it's a disgusting kind of thing that's happening to people, and it's one that cannot be allowed to just sit there. And I thought that was one of the part of the beauty and the power of this. What you were doing, this play, it's an amazing thing, but it also tells the truth in ways that you can't deny it, and it really kind of hits you hard.
Yeah, I think that the term war brides itself is rather negative, because it was used as a stereotype both in Japan and the U.S. to diminish the women who married Americans after the end of World War II, and I think that there are a lot of political reasons for that, as well as a lot of racist reasons for that. And I think for the women, their Japanese female immigrant experience in America was something that was really marginal to mainstream American life. Nobody thought about it, including Asian Americans. Nobody cared about it. And so they carved a place for themselves as members of, you know, interracial, international unions. They carved a place for themselves in the American Midwest and survived as women, as wives, as mothers, as Japanese immigrants. And so I wanted to explore their perspective on life in America, a perspective that we don't often visit. And I also feel that their perspective reflects the journeys of other immigrants who organically understand what it's like to be a stranger in a new land. And I also think a lot of other, you know, non-immigrants who understand what it's like to be a stranger in a new land, a new city, you know, a new school, a new personal relationship, whatever it is. I think that's how the play's roots reach out to, you know, to embrace other people too.
Mm-hmm. Now we're running up close on our limit, but I want to make sure that Elisa, we're able to talk with you, and I particularly, you know, a little bit more than talk with you about the look of the play, because it was amazing. It was incredible. It was theater in the round. There's costume changes on stage, and sometimes the actors are practically in the audience. Elisa, how did you create all of that? I mean, I was just blown away by it, and I'd really like to hear how you created all that.
Thank you so much for that. Well, I think the director assembled a design team that was really top-notch, and they really worked closely together to create the world that they wanted the play to be in. There were some things that are a little bit more updated, right, for kind of a more modern audience. And I think that what the director did was really she wanted to show what it was like almost to be losing your culture as you're in a new place. They're in America now. So there were certain liberties with the kimono and things like that she was beginning to take. And also with the set, what they wanted to create was obviously they wanted to bring the audience into the home. So the set is sort of almost see-through, right? It is see-through, really. It shows the frame of the house. And I think that's also symbolic of where these women are at. They're like a frame of themselves, right? Because they've suffered the blow of losing their friend. And also they're coming to terms with what their life has become after pursuing, you know, after coming to the quote-unquote land of the free. You know, one of the things that I connected with this play the most was that my mom came from Puerto Rico and with her sisters, and they didn't know anyone. And like Valina was just saying, people can really relate to this story. They don't have to be from Japan, you know. So I do think that design does take a prominent force in the play, because of the way that the director worked with these designers. It was certainly something I've never experienced before.
Mm-hmm. We have a little bit more time, and I wanted to ask a real quick a question that you guys could spend a couple, you know, minutes talking about. You know, how can people see this masterpiece?
Oh, goodness. Well, we run until May 15th. You can go on our website, herotheater.org. It's like superhero. And you can spell theater with an R-E at the end or an E-R, herotheater.org. And the phone number is 323-206-6415. We run Thursday through Sundays until May 15th.
Now, you know, one of the things that actually, and I'm just to, you know, somebody pointed out that this would be something we might also want to get into for a minute before we leave. But I was reading about, you know, basically, when you think about it, I was reading about this someone who was talking about the immigrant experience, and they made the point that we tend to focus on the act of coming to a new country. But one of the most gripping parts of this play was that actually it's showing why and how the women left Japan, and it's complex. Japan was defeated country, and all that was the background. you know, to a lot of what was going on. And then, but the women's reason for leaving covered a whole spectrum. And I'd like to talk to that a little bit. It wasn't just people came up as war brides, or they did this, or they did that. But basically, let's talk about that. What was that like?
For me, in my writing, I feel that often the stories on the event, and then it's like somebody did this, and then we walk away. But when somebody does something, there's this whole kind of domino effect on people's lives, and that's what fascinated me with these Japanese women. And of course, it's part of my family. I actually wrote the play back in the early 80s, and it's been produced continually since then. So it's not a new play in the sense that I didn't write it this year, but I also did 48 interviews to explore the lives of all of these Japanese immigrants living in the state of Kansas. So in a very natural way, I became interested in their lives as they were living them, how they were surviving. And part of that was this history of how they met their husbands in various situations. And I think in doing that, it also helped to break down the ugliness of the stereotypes.
All right. Anything else that either one of you would want to offer right now? Because we got about a minute. 2 minutes. No, we have about 2 minutes.
Well, I do want to add that, you know, one of the things that really makes me feel good about the play is that it brings in producers, directors, and Asian American actresses who can find a way to do the meaningful theater that's so important to what we do. And we don't often get that chance in the mainstream theater.
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right, Elisa, Valina, thank you very much for the play and for the conversation. And keep up the good work. And when you want to talk again, just give me a call and you're there, all right?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you
okay.
for being
all right.
so thoughtful with your comments and so kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, and I'll talk to you again soon, I hope. So that's it. Now, I want to thank, this is the Michael Slate Show, and we've been talking with Valina Houston, and Elisa Bocanegra about the play Tea. And I'm telling you, folks, this is a play you really want to see. You really definitely want to get into that. See it. See what it's about. All this other stuff. And that brings and with that note, that brings us to the end of another show. And I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my engineer, Wendell, and all of you for tuning in. And if you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.